Hey everybody, this is my sexy radio voice, thanking AdamandEve.com for sponsoring this week's episode of the Sex Nerd Sondra podcast. Okay, breaking out of that voice, hey guys, hey, promo code SEXNERD. Use it at AdamandEve.com. Seriously, you get 50% off almost any item. Free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a super secret gift. This week, I'm really excited about this because Jessica Drake and I have been crossing paths time and time, always saying we need to do this podcast, and we finally did it. Jessica is a remarkable human being. I had a great time with her, and one thing we talked about was her new series of instructional videos, her guide to wicked sex. So I went on the Adam and Eve website. Sure enough, they totally sell them. So anything that she talks about in terms of her DVDs are on there. One thing I'll say during this podcast is that I watched a scene from her threesomes DVD. That one is 1995. And I have to say, seriously, I was impressed at the unique creativity of the positions that were happening in this scene. And it was touched upon in her narration. So I really like that one, but go for whichever one speaks to what you would like to learn more about. Yeah, so check that out, Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex, and go to adamandeve.com. Get it 50% off almost any item using that promo code SEXNERD, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a super secret gift. All right, monkeys, let's do this.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sondra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hey, naughty monkeys. Hey, it's Sondra here. And we have Jessica Drake in the studio today.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm really excited.
Jessica, we have run into each other several times now.
Yeah. We go way back.
Like way back. I was there when you got your award from the XBiz Awards for your Wicked Sex series.
Yeah, that was the first one, actually. The series hadn't been out a year yet, but it was the first award show where it was eligible for anything. And then I won at AVN a few weeks later. Yeah, I was ecstatic. I was like shaking. I was so excited. It was the first award I had won for anything other than being a sex performer or an actress or anything like that. So,
okay. Well, I feel very proud having stood next to you in that moment.
Aww.
No, because it was afterward. It was the award pickup box opening moment where you get to see it.
In the parking lot.
Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah. And I came over to say hi and I could just see this warm glow wash over you.
It was a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was a nice award, too. XBiz did it really well, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel silly asking, like, what do you do? But I mean, I know you as a porn star and educator.
Yeah.
And the first time we met, I think, was at a signing / teaching workshop that you did at the Pleasure Chest.
I was about to say, I thought it was the Pleasure Chest. Okay. Yeah. I never know because it's all been a blur lately. I've done a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah, you're very busy.
Busy's good, right?
So before we started, busy is very good, except you have to breathe sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt.
And remember to eat.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I have to remind myself of that all the time. I just did a couple of workshops in Indiana, and I was in Fort Wayne, and I had a horrible time getting out there with all the bad weather through Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so I did a day in Fort Wayne with very little sleep, and then I went on to Indianapolis and did a day there. And then after that, I was really hacked off because I couldn't get an early flight out the following morning. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come right back home and get in my own bed and sleep with my Wawa. And my Chihuahua.
Oh, I thought it was maybe dirty. Not dirty. just a Chihuahua. Okay.
Yeah, he's a furry little bastard. and I'll show you a picture of him later. He's a character. I should have brought him. So I couldn't get another flight. I didn't fly out until 7 o'clock at night. But you know what? It was so good to have a day of nothing. I had a whole day of nothing. I don't even know what that is. And I did literally nothing. It was great.
It was the best.
I loved it. I ate and I stayed naked in my hotel room. I went to the mall for a little while and ate some more and then did nothing. It was cool.
You just throw yourself on hotel beds.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
But moment. I take the comforter off.
Oh.
Because it's a lot of DNA on that comforter. I'm like, that's gross. I mean, I've had a lot of DNA on me in my time. But I draw the line at foreign DNA on a hotel comforter.
Well, you want to at least see their face.
Yeah.
Right?
If I want to.
So before we started, you were explaining that you do tons. Yeah. But there's pants on work and pants off work.
Yep. There's pants on, pants off. So I do adult movies. I'm from Texas, and I got into the business about 11 or 12 years ago. I think I made my first movie. And I didn't do a lot in my first couple of years, but I did a lot of like magazine work and Playboy TV and HBO, Skinemax, Showtime, all that stuff. And then I started doing movies a bit more regularly, and then I was under contract with Wicked Pictures. Mm-hmm. Best thing I've ever done. So originally I was just a performer. So I star in 7 movies a year, which I still do. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I started writing for Wicked because Wicked is sort of the company that does not do the cheesy porno acting with the bad soundtracks and, mm-hmm. and you know, the looped moaning. We do some really high quality, bigger budget, couples friendly stuff that people really sit through, you know, and like watch instead of just fast forward to the juicy bits. And so I knew that the more creative control I had over the projects I was doing, the happier I was, mm-hmm. you know? And every time I had a fantasy, I was able to either go to a director and go, you know what? I've always wanted to have sex in a laundromat. Or I've always dreamt of getting in an elevator in a high rise office and blowing every guy. But I've always been able to go in and say, this is what I want to do. So, I was encouraged to take matters in my own hands, so to speak. And I started writing my own stuff. And as soon as I saw people directing what I was writing, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. You know, I wrote those words. Those people are saying those words. You know, I made that situation happen. It was really cool.
It's bringing to life what's in your head.
It was so cool.
You get to make it do it happen.
I loved it. I'm like, those people are having sex because of me. And so that, you know, that gave way to a lot more. I started directing a lot more. And I do this line of instructionals, Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex. And that came about because I would do international shows all over the world for Wicked. So I would do these shows and I would do adult bookstore signings. And in the beginning when we would do them, and I would do them with other Wicked girls, and it would be a ton of guys waiting for autographs. And,
yeah, that's what I imagine.
And they would like drag their wife or their girlfriend, and she'd be really uncomfortable, and I'd feel bad. But that started to change, and I think a lot of things sort of contributed to the big change, I think.
How long ago was the big change?
Maybe 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
I'd say 4 or 5 years.
What's the change?
Well, I think it's like stores went really boutique. All the adult stores got really nice. Women started coming out of the woodwork, really comfortable, want sex ed, want to explore. And I think the internet also helped it along because it just sort of pushed sexuality in everyone's face. It was everywhere. And they were sort of able to explore things that they hadn't before. Mm-hmm. And I think it made them bolder. And then women were coming to see me all the time. Like, lots of women, and they were marking special occasions like bridal showers and birthday parties and bachelorette parties. And they were coming to me and asking me for advice. And
you mean to say that the entire like party would come
yes.
to your event?
The whole like the bridesmaid and the maid of honor and sometimes assorted family members, which was to some degree slightly awkward.
But to a signing.
Yes, to a store signing.
That's great.
They'd all come in with their little dick necklaces on, you know, and like maybe the bride would be half tanked if it was an evening signing. And I've done ladies' nights and stuff where it's just women in stores. And, you know, they're amazing. And they kept asking me these questions. And then I talked to this woman who was in her 40s and had never had an orgasm. And I was like, oh, God, I got to do something about this. So I would email her back and forth and sort of help her out. And then I talked to another, this was a couple, and they were saying, yeah, we don't know what's wrong. We can't, there must be something wrong with us. We can't have anal sex. I'm like, you can't? Okay. Tell me why, like what's going on? And then they said, well, we can't do it like you do it in the movies. Right. So you're seeing basically panties drop and it goes right in. I'm like, that's not how it really works. That's movie magic, you guys. I don't know. I started to feel responsible for the kind of sex that I was portraying. But at the same time, I want people to really be able to differentiate between this is porn for fantasy versus I also do educational DVDs.
Right. No, it sounds like you saw that mental place where people, the disconnect between real life and the fantasy of the entertainment of porn.
Right. Yeah.
And they just weren't understanding that that wasn't reality. So
I felt bad.
Yeah.
It made me question the way I was having sex in regular adult movies. Like, absolutely. And I was thinking, you know, if women are watching me thinking, oh, well, I should be able to do it like that, you know, I just wanted to not. And my goal is not to teach people how to have sex like a porn star. Not at all. Because the reality is you probably don't want to have sex like a porn star.
Why not?
Because we do it. We shoot scenes for like 2.5 hours at a time. We have to cover hardcore and softcore. We have to make sure we're always cheated open towards the camera. And what I like best in my personal life sometimes is a bit of a man blanket.
Oh, just when they're on you.
Yeah.
That pressure is so great.
I know. I like it like that. But, you know, instead, I just want to try to.
Man blanket.
Man blanket. Directors yell about it, though, really. Like, I get going. Two of my favorite positions are what I call special mish, which is me missionary, but with my legs closed and in between his legs. So I'm flat. I'm just a little flat line with my legs closed and my arms down by my side. That's horrible for camera. Like, I get completely lost.
Wait, that position is just something that you enjoy in your personal life.
Oh, yeah. And from time to time, it happens on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Much to the dismay of everyone, because at that time all they see is, like, you know, man bum or hairy man back or something, you know. And the other one that I really like is basically that on my stomach. So it's special doggy. I have special mish and special doggy. And special doggy is when I'm on my stomach. Same thing, arms by my side or underneath me and my legs closed, because it just feels good.
Does anyone else call them the special? Like, are these your personal
specials?
People
that work with me.
Right. Oh, Jessica's in special mish again.
Yeah. Get out of special mish.
That's so cute that you have your signature bad positions that you love.
I do. And I love them on camera or off camera. But, it, you know, chances are if I'm doing that in a movie, I get told to change it around. So I just want to, like, let people that I talk to know that the trick here is not porn star sex. You know, it's just good sex. And if you, it depends on what you take porn star sex to mean. If you take it to mean adventurous, then that's cool. But if they want to watch the movies and follow along step by step by step, it isn't necessarily going to equal orgasm.
Right. People who maybe get turned on by the visuals and want their sex to look like that,
right,
doesn't mean you're having a great time.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Arch your back. Where's the camera? Get out of special doggy.
I mean, you've been doing this for like a little over 10 years now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like at any point in your career, did you realize that it was seeping, that sort of awareness, that sort of spectatorship outside of yourself? Yeah, you're nodding and squinting. Like, yeah.
No, I know I did. And it sort of happened at the same. I think a lot of things happened all together. So the shift that I'm talking about 4 or 5 years ago, that also came with a change in myself when I turned 30.
Okay.
It started to happen at 28. Started 28, 29, I noticed I was having really great sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I was settling for nothing less. Nothing. Not on the set, not in my personal life. Like, that's my goal. Something else that dawned on me is that the climax of an adult scene on the straight side is a man's orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the money. Yep. That's the money shot. Well, that's not fair.
That is so frustrating to me. And I've heard a lot of people.
Yeah. You're like, okay, that's it. You know, he got off. It's over with. I'm like, no, I'm getting off.
And just, do they often cut that out?
You know, I'm sure sometimes orgasms get edited out, although I don't know why they would, because I think that that's something that fans really pick up on is the realness of it. When I got to that point, though, I decided to try really hard to always get off. I mean, right? That's the goal. I mean, sometimes it's kind of hard. We're having sex after 12 hours of dialogue, and maybe it's the third day in a row that we've shot. So much acting, so many stunts and things like that. I just shot a movie that was really physical. I'm still bruised up from it, and I shot it like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And sometimes you just don't feel like having sex for 2 hours, you know? And then that's where it's really important that you're working with somebody that knows you and knows how mm-hmm. to get you off. And that's why I'm really picky with my people.
That's great.
I'm super picky.
We demand quality experiences
exactly.
in your work. Okay, you've been shooting for days. You're tired. 2 hours of sex is next on the roster. How do you get yourself in the mood? Or just ready? Or kind of, do you jump up and down and kind of shake it loose? Did you put on a cool song?
You wash your girly bits first.
Well, number one, yes.
You know, I find that, see, I only shoot 7 movies a year. So that doesn't equal a lot of on-camera sex for me. And that's how it's always been since I've been with Wicked. That's good for me because I don't get burnout of that type of sex, of the 2 hour, 2.5 hour, slightly manipulated for camera sex. But the way I usually get motivated for a scene is as we're on set, as it's getting started, I'm making out with that person. Like I'm not one of those girls who refuses to do anything until the director says action. Mm-hmm. I'm really good friends with everybody that I work with. I have some kind of connection. Mm-hmm. Even if I wouldn't necessarily have a relationship with them or date them or anything like that, I'm good friends. Like there is something, there's chemistry. So, you know, we joke around, we hug, we kiss, we touch, we pet, whatever. And then usually by the time the camera's rolling and the director does say action, I've already been doing that for a while. So, you
genius.
Know,
I'm more, you're method acting.
Foreplay. who knew? But that's how I get warmed up. And then also when the camera is not rolling anymore, I don't stop. I mean, mm-hmm. unless I have to take a break, get water, get a makeup touch up, go to the bathroom, do something. But if I'm on set, I'm still messing around, you know, and there's some people that just, when they call cut, they just shut it off. I've seen girls walk off the set and the guy's like, hey, aww. Come back. And he's standing in a room jerking off with all these guys all around him. That's not nice. Abandoned. You don't abandon your male talent.
Mm. Well, that is a loving approach to shooting, and I appreciate that. I just went to my first porn shoot ever.
Who? Where?
It was called Saving Humanity. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I heard about it. ATK did it.
Yes.
Yeah. I was looking at it online. You have to come to one of mine. You have to.
Oh my God, I totally will.
You must. I have the best food ever when I do my instructionals. The best. I do all of my own catering. Come,
me,
please.
Me.
I serve sushi and I make pasta and healthy salads and vegetarian options and gluten-free options.
Are you vegetarian?
I'm pescatarian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went to Africa about a year and a half ago mm-hmm. and I was in Kenya and Tanzania and came back really sick. It took them a while to figure out what was wrong with me. And in sort of getting my health back, I just stopped eating meat. Mm-hmm. I never ate meat again, which is huge because I was the biggest bacon fan on the face of the earth. It's the only thing I miss.
Yeah.
I do sometimes.
It's kind of a beautiful thing.
It really is.
But it's changed your life?
Yeah, it did. It just makes me feel better not to.
Cool. Yeah, I'm trying to give up sugar. That's...
Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't think I could. Mm.
Well, a wonderful fan just sent me a giant box of hazelnut chocolate. And in eating them, I was like, this is the best ever. And then at some point, I was like, I feel terrible.
I got sent about 100 Cadbury eggs.
For this past Easter.
I love them.
That's actually how I learned what cum looks like. The conversation in middle school with friends and just asking the boys, like, what does it look like? What is jizz? What is ejaculate? I have no idea.
I'll never eat a Cadbury egg the same way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, I'll eat them with relish now. I'll be like, best thing ever.
Delicious.
And then I do a Q&A and I love the Q&A because I learn so much from them. I probably learn as much from them as they take from me, for sure. Just get their feedback. What do you want to know about? What did no one tell you? You know, what's been missing from your life this whole time that you want to come here and listen to me talk to you about sex? What are you looking for? How can I give it to you?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. This one I have asked more people than I'd like to admit about their practices around deep throating.
Okay.
And I'm fascinated by the answers I get, but their tricks. Some people hold their breath. Some people push down their thumb. Some people just practice, practice, practice. It's breathing tricks. It's mental tricks. It's body positioning.
Meditation.
Meditation. Pure will. Crying.
Money.
Did you say money?
Yeah. Bribery.
And of course, part of that's the gag reflex. What are your guidelines to someone?
Well, I tell people that if you have a really sensitive gag reflex to the point where you're trying to brush your tongue with your toothbrush and you're throwing up, then deep throating is probably not for you. Some guys don't care much about deep throating. I tell some women, if you find that you're unable to do it, you can cheat deep throating by keeping your hand attached to your mm-hmm. mouth as you go down. But for women that want to do it, it is a certain amount of practice, and it's sort of isolating and identifying the muscles in your throat. Because what happens when you jam a foreign object down your throat, your body assumes that it's choking. So it's going to, you know, yeah. constrict to prevent that thing, whatever that thing is, your body doesn't know about going down your throat, stopping your breathing. It's going to try to push it out. In my instance, that makes some amazingly thick spit, which makes for an excellent blowjob. But
the gag spit, yeah, kind of the best.
Lovely. Great for stringers. But I get myself, if you like that sort of thing, I get myself to that point, or I tell women to get themselves to the point where they're not comfortable and just stop mm-hmm. and try to breathe around it. And it sounds like that's completely impossible. But once
through their mouth,
yeah, through their mouth, or even a bit through their nose, if they can just sort of pull away from it enough to figure out how to get air while that's going on. And what that does is, if he's not in control, if he's not able to continue his thrusting, mm-hmm. And she has all of the power, it just allows the woman to relax. And that really helps. It's just relaxing those throat muscles, learning how to isolate them and which ones they are. And some women can never do it. Some women have to be in a female dominant position to do it, like hold him down so that he can't thrust into mm-hmm. your mouth. But other women, I can sometimes lay on a bed on my back and hang my head over, and he can enter me this way, and my mouth and my face and my head are upside down. And that just opens up my throat. It's easy for me, but I don't tell women, go try that. Especially not after a big meal. That would be bad.
No.
So bad.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe forego the burrito.
And you know what? I've made it a really big point to tell people, even in adult stores when they sell these products, no numbing agents is something I feel very strongly about, because I've had women come to me and say they've used chloraseptic, mm-hmm. spray chloraseptic yep. in the back of their mouth. Don't do that. You don't want to numb a sensitive part of your body and maybe hurt it. And then when the numbing wears off, then you're going to figure out that you're hurt. It's the same thing I told the woman that came to me and told me that she put half a tube of Orajel in her ass to have anal sex.
No.
We don't do that. We don't do that.
You might hurt yourself. Yeah. Plus, you're missing out on some pleasure right there, too, yeah, possibly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced pain in the deep throat process, like when you're performing?
Yeah, I have.
Because I had experienced that myself, and I was like, well, that's interesting. I never thought about the size of the throat and that being an element.
Oh, I've deep throated so much, both in my personal life or in a sex scene, that I've had a sore throat the next day. That's not mm-hmm. what's wrong with me now, by the way, I swear. I have airplane throat.
Oh, you sound great.
Thank you.
Yes.
On the way here, I was like, hopefully that's not a problem. Yeah, I have definitely hurt myself, and sometimes I've asked for it. Like, sometimes that's been my goal in my personal life, and with on-camera partners that I really trust, I prefer rough sex, far prefer it. Of course, there's a time and a place for everything. And I've asked for it and really wanted that face fucking action. Mm-hmm. But only when you want it, you know. Gargling with salt water helps afterwards. Warm salt water.
Oh, afterward.
Yeah.
Because I was also
not during.
I was doing some research this week, and on dentistry sites, they said that if you sprinkle the patient's tongue with salt on the tip, and another one said on the back of, but the sprinkling salt on the tongue
to help with pain
will help while the dentist is working on them for them not to gag.
Really?
I haven't tried it. I'm just saying I was doing some research yesterday.
Homework, people. Homework. Let's try this.
That's why I was thinking, because to me, the question of deep throating and anal is sort of the same way, yeah. Getting things into the body.
Yep.
It's funny how much, I mean, because you're a sex educator.
Same thing.
So we're going about in our lives teaching other people ways of experiencing great sex and following their dreams.
Yeah.
But funny how much of it is just getting inside the body.
It's just very true, though.
It was cracking me up.
Once you learn you can have anal sex, the odds are you're going to keep having anal sex if it's something you enjoy. But in the beginning, I was really curious about anal, and I really wanted to try it long before porn. I just wanted to try it. And it just didn't quite work for me. And I didn't understand anal training and the warm-up and the importance of tons of lube and all that good stuff. But once I got the hang of it, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I really loved it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
I mean, yeah, fan. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan.
And a lot of people listening are fans.
I'm going to try that salt thing, though.
Please do.
But you still have to throw it over your, is it left shoulder?
Yes.
When you're doing it? Okay. So just remember.
Keep the luck alive.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I was reading on your bio that you have a passion for sexual responsibility and a goal of erotic potential for people. So for them to fulfill their erotic potential.
True.
And I love that. I think there's a theme right now with sex education. Now, you do the Guide to Wicked Sex series on DVDs. And I know there have been instructional DVDs in the past. But first of all, just the look of the DVD is beautiful.
Thank you.
Just the feel of it. Yeah, real clean.
I wanted to make it something that was aesthetically pleasing, of course, but I wanted to give people a lot of information at the same time. And it's sort of like, when I decided to do it, I went to Wicked and I said, I really want to try this. I really want to try it. And they go, well, you know, I don't know about a series, but try the first one and we'll see what happens. So fellatio was all on me. You know, I did the research, no pun intended, did a ton of research, and I'm in a program to be a sex coach right now. So that's the training.
Is it Patty Britton's?
It is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm midway through Trek 2. I've been with her for about a year and a half now.
How is it? I haven't heard much about the training.
Yeah? It's good. There's a lot of work to it. But I really enjoy working with them. I've done some SARS, some intensive workshops, and they're amazing. They're really great. So I'm taking the textbook information I have explaining anatomy and how things work. And then I'm pairing that with just some very real life, both experience and demonstration. I don't have anything to do sexually in any of these, but I write them, direct them, narrate them, cast them. I shoot them all at my house. It's a big labor of love. It's a huge undertaking. But I was so stressed out when I did fellatio because, I mean, I didn't sleep for days before. I was so worried. It was so important to me to make it be a certain way. And I hired a totally different crew than what we usually use at Wicked. I went completely off the board. I pissed off some of my friends, some of our regular crew, our cameramen. I didn't use any of them because it was really important to me to give the series a very distinct look. And so I shot it on the Canon 5Ds. And I used a mainstream crew, cameraman, sound guy.
As in, they work in mainstream Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I was just very insistent on it. And I'm on my 10th one now. And I've sort of, now it's a blend, a very gentle blend. Still using the basic mainstream crew that I started the line with. And I've integrated a couple of people that are industry people that just really get it, that just really respect what I have to say. Cause sometimes mm-hmm. that's tricky. You know, these people have been watching me do my naked work for so many years. I didn't want to have a problem with them on the set listening to me, you know, because I've been a performer for so long.
Right. Cause switching roles, you want to make sure you have the respect and you can command. Cause it seems like you have an incredibly clear vision.
I do.
And there's something amazing to see a person.
I'm a bit freakish about it though. I'm like a control freak. I'm like, it has to be a certain way.
Oh, but that's important artistically.
I try.
I mean, it looks like the series is going incredibly well.
It's doing good.
Yeah.
People like it.
How are the sales?
Very good.
Yeah.
On the best ones are fellatio. Of course, it came out first. Mm-hmm. Fellatio, anal, and anal for men are the three most popular. There are seven out. There are about to be eight. No, I'm sorry. There are eight out. There are about to be nine, and I'm working on the 10th right now. So,
well, that sounds great. Also, I mean, come on. Fellatio, anal, and anal for men.
Yeah.
Huge topics these recent years.
Most popular.
Totally. And which is important that we have people disseminating excellent information about these sorts of activities. So, I mean, just, I'm a process nerd. Like, I love hearing what people's processes. So you did a lot of research. Mm-hmm. You had a vision of what you wanted. Now, I know that like, Tristan Taramino's series, it's another instructional series. How did you, I mean, because obviously there are, I mean, there's some old school instructional videos out there.
Yes, there are.
Nina Hartley has done tons of them. I know Tristan tends to be in front of the camera and then she'll like bring in two people and she usually has an audience in the living room watching a small group of people. That's one way to do it. There are anatomy drawings and she'll kind of treat it like a workshop that's filmed and with live demos right there. You narrate, I mean, I was watching a little bit of the threesomes one and I quite enjoyed it. It was actually very sexy.
I like that one.
And I enjoyed your narration over it. Are you in the video talking at all?
I am often talking on set, but the majority of the time when I am talking on set, it's so the performers know the timing and the spacing of the VOs. And if there isn't sex noise at the time, I'll take out my audio and then add my audio in post because I want a very clear, crisp audio. And if I'm not mic'd at the time, then that just won't work. And so what I'm doing when I'm watching them move through the hardcore sex demos, they're normally all assembled in the white, I call it the white room in my house because it's just everything is really bright, natural lighting, all the furniture's white, the walls are white. I shoot all the demos in that room and I put all of my people, if they're, you know, the girls, all the girls or all the couples or whatever, and I switch them in and out for all of those demos. And they go through and they demonstrate everything. And up until the point that there's sex noise, I do talk.
Okay.
But then after the sex starts happening, like the demonstration part of the sex, any type of technique, all I say is, show me how you guys do blah, blah, blah. And then I shut up and then I let it happen. And then after the project is edited, I go into a recording studio and I watch the action. And then I not necessarily do the commentary the way that I do the commentary over the scenes, but I sort of rehash talking about the actual technique, talking about what they're doing.
Something like rubbing the butthole.
Yeah, and exactly.
Because sex noise can happen during those things,
yeah,
too.
That's very true. That is very true.
It's smart of you to be quiet in case you get a nice, fresh, like, ooh.
I love that, too. And I try to use people in the series that have varying degrees of experience. Like when I shot the anal, I used Asa, Akira, and Mr. Marcus, who were great performers for me that day and had a ton of experience and had no hesitations doing it. But I also used a couple. They're married in real life, Lila Storm and Jeremy. And they have very limited experience. Very. Okay. And I called her and I told her what I wanted to do. And they had been very eager to work for me for quite a while. And I said, here's the deal. It's an anal instructional. And you guys have told me that this is something that you're just starting to get into. I want to use you for this. If you have penetrative anal sex, that's awesome. If you get to the point where you can't do it, I'm going to shoot that too. Because that happens sometimes. Sometimes people try it and they don't get past tongues or fingers.
The suspense is rising for me because you'd kind of rolled your eyes. And now I'm like, what's going to happen? What happened?
They got on the set, Lila and Jeremy, and they started to demonstrate getting warmed up and fingers and tongues. And she had the worst case of the giggles that I've ever seen in my whole life. So she was nervous, but it was fine. You know, it was real. And I think more than anything else, my passion in these instructionals is shooting real between people. I want the chemistry. I want things to not necessarily go right, because I think that that's what people need to see. Just because it's an adult movie with real penetration and some of my scenes that I shoot for it are very beautiful, I still want them to get a real raw edge, even though it looks produced. And it does. It is. I mean, we light really carefully. Yep. Like,
but great lighting, great audio is important.
Sure.
But authenticity
is so much more important.
You feel it in your gut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like it when people get into positions that maybe don't work for them, and so they have to adjust. Mm-hmm. I leave that in.
Yeah.
Because I want people to understand that it's never as fluid as... And I hate when sex is so linear. Kissing, oral, position, pop. Sometimes I get performers that don't know anything but that. And if that's really what they're doing, I don't like to boss them around. I want them to have the kind of sex that they want. But I shot a scene for my G-spot and female ejaculation with Annie Cruz and Tony Rebus. They set equipment on fire. They were so good. I looked around at my crew, and sometimes there's like really good sex going on, mm-hmm. and my crew gets a little squirmy. Like they don't know where to look. Like they don't want to make eye contact with each other. They're like, and it's hot. When I shot Woman to Woman, that happened. I had a Sovereign Sire and Chastity Lynn, and actually, Allie Hayes and Jelena Jensen. And Sin Sage and Alexis Monroe, and all three of those couples were like so intense. I love it when that happens.
Recently I was in New York, and this great guy, Victor Reyes, had me, like, he wrote a script, like just a little fun ass little like Sex Nerd Sandra goofy sketch video. And so we shot it, and it was about a couple who was having oral sex, and I kind of jump in like a superhero and craziness ensues. But there's a scene where the actress orgasms. Generally, I'm sure you've seen this in mainstream movies, just when actors try and express sexual pleasure, it's often not good. Like, it just doesn't feel right.
Right.
And so I'm like sitting in the other room, and they're shooting this like orgasm, which is supposed to be authentic. I mean, the vibe is funny, but it's an authentic moment of like, we've reached something true instead of the awkwardness that was before.
And it sounded like a wildebeest in heat.
Yeah, just like, And Victor looks at me, he's like, do you want to come in here? And so I came in and I kind of got the crew around. There's like seven people, and I'm like, okay. I know it's hard to do this. And it turned into an orgasm class where I taught her how to, and like everybody was just fixated on learning like the truth in orgasm. Like usually, you know, you build and you drop it down and you're like, oh my God, wait, what? Oh, and then you get kind of scared. You're like, what? And you're like, ah, you know, and like I went through like five or six different types of orgasm. And there was nothing like the moment when we took several takes, but when she hit one where I had to cross my legs, and I was like, oh, I feel different.
Oh my.
I was like, when you just know it feels true.
Right.
There's something.
It's completely different.
Oh, so good.
It really is. It's so not when Harry met Sally.
Right. Right. Although hitting things is still fun when you come sometimes. Well, I love that you're creating this. Because it takes all sorts.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all hitting different demographics, different groups of people, and it's going to take an army of people to help the coming generations.
It really does. And I think, like, I'm grateful and honored that people like Tristan and people like Nina have acknowledged me. It really means a lot to me, because I think, you know, a lot of people could have come up from the things that I've done in the just straight side of the adult industry, just being a porn star, and tried to say, oh, I'm going to give porn star sex tips, you know? But I take it really seriously. And I think that, like, I just spoke at Chapman University with Nina, mm-hmm. and I've been at a lot of other things, conferences and appearances with Nina too. And people like Tristan and Nina and Candida, and I mean, everyone who came before me made it possible for me to get into this area of sex education. And it means a lot to me that they're comfortable acknowledging me sharing some footing in the same field. And it is so incredibly important. And, you know, I'm just grateful for their acceptance, and I'm grateful for their inspiration. And I really try to give them a respectful amount of both admiration and difference as well, because the last thing I want to do is make a product that mirrors what they're doing. It's really important to me to find my own style. And even though, as part of the sex coaching program, part of the curriculum, I've had to watch many, many instructionals from the 60s, 70s to the present. Like, I've had to watch them about everything. And, you know, I always wanted to take away the good in each project. Like, well, I really appreciated that they did this, or I thought this was very valuable or useful. But sometimes it's like, whoa, no, I would never.
There's some awkward ass instructional videos out there. I'll say it for you.
But there are.
It is.
There are.
Oh, no.
But I just wanted to give people something that was really comfortable, that was really informative, that was also super sexy and inspiring. And in each one of the DVDs, you can also, after you've heard the narration and the factual bits and seen the demonstrations and listened to the people's interviews, you also get 3 hardcore sex scenes. So you can listen to those with my narration, and I'm being all technical and smart, or you can just push the button on the DVD menu and you can just watch those sex scenes for your pleasure. And I think that's a really cool feature to have. But when I was growing up, I didn't get any kind of realistic sex education. None. Birds and bees, barely. Never heard my dad talk about sex. I knew the words penis, vagina. It was explained what happens when I have my period the day I had my period. Ugh. Like, there was no prepping for it. It was like, oh boy, okay, well, here's what's going on with you.
Did you at least know periods happen to females?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Vaguely. I didn't know what wasn't explained about tampons or anything like that. It was just a very, very awkward thing. And then I didn't know anything about masturbation, no orgasms, no pleasure, no, I mean, nothing, like no raging hormones or nothing.
They got, no, Texas, not so.
That's right.
Not
and,
so good.
And my mother for a while was Jehovah's Witness.
Oh.
So it's not like I was raised with necessarily shame, like, oh, don't do that, that's sinful. It wasn't that. It was just there was
neglect.
There was nothing. There was just
the absence.
A complete absence of anything sexually related. And I think that's probably why I was such a curious kid. You know, I was really experimental when I was in high school. I had a lot of sex, not with a lot of people. I had sex with 2 main people plus my girlfriend in high school. But I had a lot because I was just so incredibly curious. I read encyclopedias. I would go to the bookstore in the sex section.
High five.
Yeah, yeah. I had to read everything. I was like, but why does it do that? And what is it called? And what is it used for? And I can't see it. Are you sure it's in there? Like, I explored my body. I mean, fingers everywhere. Just wanted to know everything.
Jessica Drake, I believe that you might be a sex nerd.
I would love to be a sex nerd. I sure was a nerd growing up, I tell you. Don't let the costume here fool you.
Wait, lovely human being still can be a huge nerd.
Yeah, huge nerd.
How did you get into porn? I mean, I know there's lots of assumptions about the things that cause someone to get into the adult industry.
In a nutshell, because I could also do a whole entire show on how I got into porn. So I was stripping in Texas and I was going to college. I was a psych major, not because I knew what I was going to do, just because I got to a point in my life where I knew I should go to school. I was first a liberal arts major. Then I took an intro to psych class and was like, whoa, I really like this a lot. Changed my major. Stripping, school started getting really hard. I had, let's just say, a breakdown of a relationship.
That happens.
It kind of fell into the wrong crowd. you know, my life wasn't necessarily going the way that I wanted it to go. And not at all, not at all. And at the same time, a bunch of different things happened. School got really hard. I went through some very personal changes in my life, and I was interested in being a feature dancer. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I called an agency that books feature performers. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm interested in traveling around and doing this for a little while. Thought I'd take a break. Right. And
wait, just feature feature dancer. Does that mean you travel around to different clubs?
Yep. And get up on stage and do theme shows, usually just Thursday, Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. and then go.
Okay.
Paid big bucks, you know.
Nice.
Nice tips. Get to dress up. And so they said, well, we have some employees from this agency that are going to be at the club that you're working at. So go meet them and they can see if you really look like what you say. And so I hung out with them for a while and didn't really understand exactly who they were. But it was Michael Raven, who was a big director in our business. And he later went on to have a contract with Wicked too. And, you know, I met his wife. I met some really amazing people here in LA. And I came out here a couple of times, probably for a good 6 months or so. And just got really comfortable with them, but didn't do any porn. Mm-hmm. Just didn't do it. It wasn't right for me. It just wasn't the right time. And, you know, like I was saying, I did magazines and Playboy TV and that sort of thing. And it just wasn't getting any better in Texas. And mm-hmm. every time I would go back, I'd be like, what am I doing here? You know, how can I really change my life? And how can I really get out of this rut that I'm in? And I really want to do more than I'm doing now. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I think...
No, it doesn't sound weird at all. I think we all have those moments of like, this is my life.
Yeah.
I'm not happy here.
No, but most people probably don't choose to have sex on camera for money to change their life.
That's true. I mean, it's...
But it was a way out for me. Mm-hmm. It's sort of hard. I mean, it's not like I was being abused or on drugs or any of those stereotypes that some people have about the industry. But I was just really ready for a big change. And I saw a lot of potential in the business and what it could do for mm-hmm. me. And I know that I'm a really determined, driven person. And I didn't have much to lose. You know, I knew where my life was at the time, and I started doing porn very slowly and very selectively. But also at the same time, they were cool with me because they said, before you do this, mm-hmm. we want to make sure that you know it can come back on you. And it might not come back on you this year or in 5 years or 10 years. It could be when you are in a relationship that you don't even know about today. Mm-hmm. And you're at the Thanksgiving dinner table and your in-laws pull out DVDs. You know, like it could happen.
Wait, who gave you this talk?
Michael Raven and his wife, Sydney.
Okay.
And it was more his wife than anybody else. But he had already told me that there would be repercussions from being in the industry.
That is great.
It is. And I try to do it with everyone that I meet if they have not done porn yet, but they're thinking about it. Because don't get me wrong. It's amazing. I've done all kinds of wonderful things that I never would have gotten to do otherwise. But it will always come back on you. I'm happy with my decision. But I had a lot less to lose than some other people.
When you say to lose...
Smaller family. I never had to worry about a family disowning me.
I see. Have they been supportive?
Well, there's not very many of them. I don't mm-hmm. have any kind of relationship with my mother. My father passed away. Mm-hmm. And my little brother's cool with it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Because it's the loss...
All there is.
The loss of the loved ones in your life.
Right.
I see.
Yeah, that's why I adopt the world.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why I take care of everybody.
Yeah. It's your chosen family.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
No, that's a really good point. I mean, I had been given the talk. I was thinking about stripping at one point, more just as like, this is an adventure. And the guy at the club was like, look, if you have any other way to support yourself, do it.
Wow.
Like, it was hardcore. And I was like, well, okay then. But I was more just curious. I didn't really need to do it. It was... Yeah. But definitely gave me a little bit of the shivers, like, okay, maybe I don't want to do this yet.
I think awareness is so important, and any type of advice that you can give to anyone, if you've been there before, just, I do it to every new person that I meet.
Yeah,
I do.
It's good.
If they listen or not, it's up to them, but I try.
And that's their choices.
Yep.
Wait, so that's incredibly honest and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's... It's exciting, though. I mean, did you move to L.A. and just kind of jump in?
Yeah, but not right away. I went back and forth between L.A. and Texas, and I didn't really tell anyone, any of my friends at first, because I wanted to be sure that I was actually going to do it. And I did a couple of movies, and I did start telling people very slowly on a need-to-know basis. And the people that I thought were my friends were like, oh, I can't believe you'd do something like that. And, oh, you're just going to end up on drugs, and they're going to kill you, and they're going to get you strung out and take advantage of you. And then about, two or three years later, when I was living out here, these are the same people that are hitting me up for like Ron Jeremy's autograph and free porn. And I'm like, oh, and where were you when I was making this decision? Oh, that's right. You were telling me not to.
There's something about the naysayers in life, how they want to keep you where you are. Mm-hmm. I remember when I decided to graduate early from high school. So I sped up my junior year and just got out. And that entire junior year, everyone was like, Sandra, you're going to regret this. You're going to regret this. I'm like, why would I regret this? I hate high school. High school is the worst. Everyone was being awful. And that's one of the best decisions I ever made. And so when you think about the people.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, look at you now. I mean, clearly not everyone has the same life path, but I'm sure you've learned from the past, but you seem to have a great head on your shoulders.
No, I'm really happy. And it took me a long time to do any appearances back in El Paso, mm-hmm. but I have been back. Mm-hmm. And when I went back, I think I had already been in the business for about 5 years. So I was definitely already a wicked girl, already like had quality product and you know, kind of a name at the time and toy line and all that stuff. And I featured at one of the clubs that I had been a house dancer at. So that means that that club paid me big money to come through there. And I mm-hmm. drew a huge crowd and did all their commercials and stuff. And those girls were still in that club.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And they weren't in school. And they weren't doing anything but that. And they were like little vampires. And I'm like, that's exactly what I did not want to be stuck in. It's exactly what it was.
So what makes you different? Now, I know that sounds like a jackass question, but like clearly each person is unique. But how did you get to here? Like, how did you rise to the top? You are clearly awesome.
That's a hard question.
But at the same time, it's because people kind of ask me that question to a certain degree, sometimes in certain circles. And you know, I have to have this conversation with people, but it's what, like, why are you at a place now? And clearly you've made some excellent decisions. You're a great performer. I mean, I can assume things that you're just quality as a human being, and that easily rises to the top. But has there been a mantra or something that you've said to yourself over the years that's kept you, like, what, is it just an intense drive? Is it a vision? Like,
I'm very persistent. And a lot of the time I would get jobs and opportunities, not because I was the hottest girl ready, waiting and willing, but because of my sheer persistence. And mm-hmm. it really does carry on to every aspect of my life. I'm also dependable. I prioritize really well. And my philosophy when I first got in, I never do anything that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Never do anything that I'm not comfortable doing. I don't do anything on camera that I wouldn't do in my personal life. I made the decision when I got into the industry to only work with condoms before I was with Wicked. Mm-hmm. And Wicked's the only company in the heterosexual side of the adult industry that is condom only, and we have been for 14 years. So before I got into this business, they were already 100% condom. But when I got in, people were working with and without. And I was like, no, that's the choice for me. That's what I choose to do. And I stuck by it even when it did cost me work. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just very firm with my decision. And I also said, in addition to, you know, I won't ever do anything I don't want to do. If it doesn't make me happy, I will stop doing it. And I meant that for everything in the business, whether it's dancing or it's doing movies or it's traveling all the time. Sometimes that gets old, so I kind of scale back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know my limits. I usually push myself a little bit further than I think I should, but I always realize before it gets too late, I need some self-care. I need some me time. Mm-hmm. I really need to take a break. And generally, I do. But I just work really hard. And I know that it can all go away. And I think that's also really important. And that's what I try to tell the new girls. I'm like, you may think this is really cool because you're cashing all these checks and you're going shopping. But just remember that as quickly as you started to get all these checks that you never had before and all this money, this is how it will leave you too. So
really quickly,
be smart.
So in this, because I love that, because I think there's something where we see the end result of where people end up, but we don't necessarily see the journey and then what's going on inside the person that brings them through those moments. During this path, have you had, I mean, of course you had naysayers back at home, but even through you standing by, you're like, I know I'm not going to have sex without condoms on camera. No, I don't want to do a scene like that right now. I need self-care. Yeah. No, whatever that is. Have you had people be like, come on, Jessica?
Nope.
No?
No. And the reason why, I think there are two big reasons. Wicked's an amazing company, first of all, and they've never, ever asked me to do anything that I wasn't comfortable with. And also, I don't have an agent. I've never had an agent in this business. And in the beginning, I think that agents were extremely helpful. Where it came to maybe introducing girls to companies or booking girls. I just had friends, you know, that would take me around to go sees, and then everybody knew me, so I didn't need anybody, and I'm responsible enough to get myself to set on time. But nowadays, there are so many girls getting into the business, and guys too, for that matter, or trying, and these agents are pushing them. You know, and the agents are collecting fees from the girls. The agents are collecting fees from the companies that are hiring the girls, you know, other fees for different things like drivers. And it's the agency's goal to make as much money as possible. So when a girl calls and says, you know, I had a really rough scene for whatever company and I don't feel like going to work tomorrow, or I'm bruised, or I'm sick, or I'm, and they're like, you get your ass to work.
So unlike mainstream Hollywood agents where they're, there's a certain amount of care for their client?
No, we don't really have that anymore. And I'll say that Mark Spiegler is an exception. Spiegler is, he's amazing. And, you know, it's not, I can't generalize and say that every single agent in the business is like a slave driver, because they're not. But I think that the majority of them, their interests are not in cultivating a girl's career, because it's a really different time in the business now than it was before. I mean, I think that if I were coming into the industry now, I don't know, A, that I would, or B, that I could be as successful. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm so successful, but I don't think I could have attained the level of success that I have had if I were just coming in now. It's hard, so hard. Before they had the star mentality, you know, girls wanted contracts. And now girls come in and they're like, oh, you know, I want to make 20 grand a month. I'll do anything. I just want to shoot a lot every day. And I see it, you know, I rent out my house for a location. And I see kind of sometimes the same girls come through and I'm like, how much do you work? Like, I would need an ice pack in my bits, like, slow down.
Yeah, they're treating themselves like workhorses.
Yeah, I'm like, don't get shot out. Don't do that.
Give the vag a rest.
I know. And so then they're like, okay, all anal this month. No.
No, it's different.
No. Mark Spieler is great, though. He encourages his girls to save money. And I think that's so important. He encourages them to take time off, take care of themselves. If I could just cast my instructionals with Spiegler girls, they're just awesome. They're amazing.
That's great.
They are. He's got Asa and Kim Kane and Dana D'Armond and Sovereign and Chastity and just, oh God, they're awesome.
Very cool.
So good.
It's exciting to see you transform, because I've seen you a little bit over the years at different events, and then this is an exciting time.
Yeah, we should do this again for sure. Yeah. You can pick my brain and I want to pick yours.
I'm geek out on this world that we're in right now. It's an exciting time for sex ed and sexuality.
It really is.
Last thought. We got to get out of here. Okay, I have two things, really. One, Jessica.
Yes.
You want to leave the listeners the Naughty Monkeys of the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast with just sexual wisdom you've learned over the years?
naughty monkeys.
No.
I love naughty monkeys. Is there a naughty monkey t-shirt?
There will be.
Okay, good. Ah, naughty monkeys. Sexual wisdom that I've learned over the years. If it's not to simply be very true to your sexual self, whatever that sexual self is, I would say, you know, be really open-minded. Be very experimental. Our sexuality is very, very fluid. It changes constantly. And if you're into something and you want to try new things and you want to do it with a certain type of person, or you're into one gender and you're not sure, just try. Just try. Be super open-minded. Never regret any sexual experiences. And even if you have some negative sexual experiences in your past, I mean, we really all do. It's a part of who you are, and you can just learn from them, you know, and move on. Contrast is good because it can show us what we don't like. And from that, we can learn what we really do like, and just be your own naughty monkeys, you know, just do what makes you happy, regardless of what that is. I mean, assuming it doesn't hurt anyone, unless they want to be hurt, you know, just go with it and do your thing and don't be afraid.
Yeah. Listen to thyself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, then final question.
Okay.
That was great.
Thank you.
Part of taking care of yourself as a sexy sexual being is self-care.
Yes.
And this is completely superficial, but I have to ask.
Tell me.
Coming from a super tomboy who's still trying to figure out makeup, your skin is amazing. How do you do that? How is your skin this amazing? She has amazing skin.
Y'all are going to hate this. First of all, I would just like to say that I, too, was a tomboy before this business. Never wore makeup. Never really did anything but play in the dirt with boys and get roughed up and get hurt and go home hurt. Skin knees, scars. My face now, I don't really do anything.
Wait, okay, you wash your face.
I do barely wash
toner.
My face.
Toner, moisturizer? No, she shook her head no at
okay,
toner.
Okay, so about a year or two ago, I got really big into sunblock, like okay. I should have been my whole entire life, right? But as far as skincare lines, I'm not in a committed relationship with any one skincare line. I love steam showers. I love getting in my jacuzzi. I think I sweat a lot of the bad stuff out. I drink a lot of water. Maybe that's it. Mm-hmm. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the red meat thing comes into play a little bit.
'Cause your skin is really clear. I mean, like, I'm touching your skin. Yeah, it's so dewy.
And the only thing that I do is Botox. Like, I don't think that we should mess with our faces. And the biggest reason that I started doing Botox is because when I think, I squint a lot. And people are always like, what's wrong? Are you angry? I'm like, no, I'm deep in thought. and they think I'm going to kill them. I'm like, no, I'm just thinking really hard.
That's really funny. That's your thinking face.
I do Botox twice a year. I didn't do anything else. When I was growing up, I never washed my face. I would like maybe wipe it off when I got really hot or something, but I never did that because I never wore makeup. And I mean, I'm sure it was dirty, like my own dirt and oils, but I don't know. Maybe that was a little self-conditioning.
So you're just naturally like that.
Yeah.
Not the right answer, Jessica.
Okay. Sorry.
Botox. So can you like not move your face as much as usual? I mean, you're still like, yeah, there's a lot of eyebrow action. No. Oh,
yeah,
she's
I don't do it all the way. I just do it to take a little bit of the squinting away.
So you can do Botox and not.
Oh, yeah. Do like never go full frozen face.
I don't know.
Always go like half frozen, but you don't need it. But always go half of what, you know, be like, yeah, no. Go to somebody that's really conservative. Anybody, naughty monkeys, because you don't need Botox anyway. But if you are thinking about getting Botox.
So you don't have to get frozen face.
Don't freeze your face. No, it's stupid. Don't do that because then they're like, okay, now be happy. This is my happy face. Okay, now be sad. No, but you
that's
know what?
The same face. You know,
but you know what I found recently that just keeps me like with a glow and makes me really happy. If you've seen my Twitter, you might know I've been doing pot physique. Do you know what that is?
I keep seeing, okay, in LA, we're all, okay, LA, I know New York also was really into yoga, but there's Pilates and everybody's into fitness. And I
never did anything, right? Like I've never, like I run every once in a while, but it's more for my brain, like to clear my head. It's not for any kind of like real exercise.
But pot physique looks like an American Apparel ad, but farther away.
I was going to say, it's a cross between CrossFit and American Apparel. It's like, it's actually very hard, and I didn't think it was going to be. I saw the ads and I was like, oh, that chick's got a great ass. I'm going to go to that class.
So they worked on you.
Yeah, of course. But it's, so it's like an hour class. It's micro movements. It's a little kind of.
I'm just sort of slightly shimmying.
You're coming to class with me. You put on some leggings, leg warmers, and a little sports,
let's go.
Let's go. But it's hard. It's bar method, so a little bit of ballet, and it gives you a lean tone dancer body. And they say your body changes. I think they say 6 weeks. I did it for 3 weeks and I started seeing muscles I've never seen before, and it is draining. But I leave a 60-minute class and I'm like, that's the best thing I've done for myself all week. So Pop Physique is sort of like part of the self-care that I've been doing, and it's fun because I'm a big music person. I will listen to anything, and they have the most amazing playlists.
You're selling me on it.
In there. I mean, just come. You should just try it one time.
I just signed up for some belly dance classes because I was like, I need to move myself. And as much as I was taking some fight classes with Free Carradine.
Yeah.
David Carradine's son, he teaches on the West Side.
I read about him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's fantastic. But that was more like super geeky, like angles and crunching fists slowly and locking. I wasn't getting a workout,
right?
But my brain was, and I was learning how to punch things really well.
But that's cool. That's a good stress reliever. I did an MMA movie not long ago, and I had to train for like 2 months MMA.
Hot
ass kicked. But yeah, Pop Physique is a bomb. I love it.
Excellent. Good self care. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jessica. Seriously, thank you so much for coming in.
And I'll come again.
I think that may need to happen.
I'm excited. When I got your text, I was stoked. I was like, sweet. It's the text I was waiting for.
Excellent. Where can people find you? What is your preferred method of people?
Well, I'm about to set up camp here just so I can do more podcasting with you. You can see more of me, as always, on wicked.com. The line of instructionals has a free website called guidetowickedsex.com, which I provide a lot of the content for, the majority of the content, actually. Mm-hmm. I have a free blog, which is insidejd.blogspot.com. And on Twitter, follow at wickedpictures and at the Jessica Drake. And that's all.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We like to tell everyone here, go team fun.
Go team fun.
Yes.
Go team naughty monkeys fun.
All the fun. Have it. All right. Have a good week, guys. Mwah.